You're listening to the Bitcoin.com podcast. Our guest today is John Lambella. This show is only provided for informational purposes only. It is not offered or intended to be used as legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. This episode is brought to you by the Wallex Group, a new generation financial provider which enables both individuals and businesses to bridge traditional and digital financial management operations. Advice for everyone and everywhere. Check out WallexTrust.com to find out more. That's WallexTrust.com. I'm your host, Dustin Plantholt. Join us as we dive into the world of economics, politics, tech, Bitcoin, and cryptocurrency. For even more crypto-related news, sign up at news.bitcoin.com or follow us on Twitter at bitcoin.com. Now let's bring on our guest. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Dustin.
Thank you for joining us. And John, you have got quite the bio. And I want to know, how did you get in to this ecosystem? And when did you first learn about Bitcoin or the word blockchain?
Sure. First of all, I'm a software engineer, right? So that's where I was actually trained 15 years ago, studying in South Africa. So I'm a software developer, and I've been doing software development for the last 15 years. But I do remember working at the one of the largest bank in South Africa, pretty much in Africa, by the way, the Standard Bank Group. And back in the days, being in corporate investment banking, I happened to hear the word Bitcoin for the first time. But before that, I remember having to run my own consulting practice since 2008, and then started consulting with the bank. And the keyword Bitcoin for me kind of made sense to have that sort of a evolution of the money in a digital form. But I did not spend time doing any research to try and understand what Bitcoin was all about. Back in the days on Facebook, there was only on your feed a whole bunch of Bitcoin and advertisement and all that kind of stuff. But I wasn't really too focused on wanting to understand what the whole thing was all about. Probably because being an entrepreneur, I was busy running my own businesses, and I kind of stayed away from really having to delve into the whole Bitcoin saga, right? It was pretty new for a lot of people back then. And in 2013, and I remember traveling to New York back then, around about July, I happened to bump into the keyword blockchain. So that kind of was pretty interesting to me. And I told myself, okay, well, every single year, I wanted to kind of know a new piece of technology, kind of wanting to learn about it, so I could either incorporate it as part of my services, my service offering to my customers, or just for my own knowledge, right? So go to New York, enjoy the summer, and get back to South Africa. But 2014, then a lot of people in South Africa start reaching out to me, but more from a triple M, or rather network marketing perspective, right? So they were like, hey, you know what, John, this is how you can make money, and if you do some Bitcoin mining and all that kind of stuff. So that was pretty weird to me. And by the way, that in Africa, a lot of people came to learn about Bitcoin just because there was an opportunity for them to make some money. So I decided to start doing a little bit of digging, right? So there was, compared to the US or the Asian market, or people where people really wanted to learn more about technology, in Africa, predominantly in South Africa, it was more about how do you make money out of it, right? Because there was this triple M business, a Russian business opportunity that almost got shut down by government and forced people to actually pay in Bitcoin. So people had to know more what Bitcoin was all about so they could actually carry on with their businesses, but eventually got into the whole aspect of, hey, you know what? I want to make money. I want to do this whole mining and all that kind of stuff. So eventually, for about a year, that thing was pretty weird to me. So I decided to spend some time and start doing my reading. And I was really pretty much blown away being a tech guy, understanding the world of finance with a bank in corporate investment banking and blending the best of both worlds. I was like, whoa, hold on a second. Bitcoin is just more than this whole idea of really getting excited and making money. I saw first the aspect of the technology behind Bitcoin and blockchain. So I really started getting more excited about the tech aspect of things and letting me to really understand the meaning of Bitcoin and blockchain in the financial world and even in the investment world. So since then, really, I got excited and I said, you know what? I'm going to make it my mission to really focus on the tech and the technology behind Bitcoin, blockchain technology, and see exactly how I can create a business out of it. That's exactly how I got involved into Bitcoin.
Wow. So you went all in, that this was something that literally gave you your, I call it in life, your aha moment, that it is like the lights turned on and you did this 360. So tell me today, what are you working on? Tell me some of the projects and tell the viewers out there specifically, what do you do?
Well, that's very interesting, and thanks for that particular question. Before we get into what do I do, there was this need back in the days, I think 2016, to really see what Bitcoin was all about and how it could help people who are looking to make money. Obviously, we all went into the whole ICO saga in 2017. People made some money and people lost a lot of money. I did lose a lot of money myself. But never really giving up. I saw, once again, more than just the ability of making money, but more the ability of helping a lot of people, helping communities using this specific piece of technology. So 2018, while traveling around the world and speaking on blockchain conferences and all that kind of stuff, I started really figuring out exactly, besides me speaking at conferences about what is blockchain and how do we make money using cryptocurrencies, I wanted to start changing the narrative. I wanted to start focusing on, okay, how do we use blockchain and cryptocurrencies to really fulfill its promises within Africa? How can we start focusing on developing applications and whatever that is, that will certainly help communities for them to be able to do what they need to do. I remember meeting a sheikh in Dubai who told me, hey, John, you know what? Blockchain is pretty much the cure medicine for Africa. And that's a pretty strong word because you can look into that from multiple angles. Let's look into, for example, political voting, right? So if you were to implement a blockchain technology that records every single vote on the blockchain, right? So that would be one piece of truth that we could also implement in Africa, right? So Africa is really pretty much known for everything that's crazy and all that kind of stuff. So I wanted to start looking into these applications. What can we do? And I focused on one. And the one aspect for me was around investing. Why? First of all, people in Africa were looking for ways of making money. So we see that there's about over 70% of people in Africa, but not only in Africa, in other third world countries that literally do not have access to any, you know, banking or financial institution, financial services, right?
Right.
So I wanted to really now focus on how do we get there? How do we offer solutions to these people, especially the little guy, right? Because Bitcoin has been so-called developed to really help the third world country, right? So we wanted to get there. So somebody who is really a tech savvy, who understands technology, who understands how Bitcoin works, and who knows literally how it can help other people, I wanted to stand out from the crowd. I wanted to go beyond the idea of, hey, you know what? We can just make money. I wanted to see how can we help people not only make money, but really get access to this financial instrument. How can we make that happen? Right? So then I started asking myself these questions. And from the 2017 saga, the ICO, the 2018 complete bear market where everybody ran off, but we stood out there and remained in this particular world of Bitcoin and still believing in it and preaching, being, you know, evangelizing around the world. In 2019, I started changing the narrative. My conferences were about to the people, how can we now go beyond the blockchain hype and now start really focusing on helping the people in Africa? How can we leverage whatever we know today and make that happen? So Simone and I met, right? And
who is Simone?
Okay, Simone Mazzucca is a friend of mine, a dear friend of mine, but also a business partner. A business partner who happens to be the brain father, you know, the guy who's behind the Wallex brand. And so he met me and he wanted to get access into Africa. And I wanted to get access to the tools. So he has a whole host of tools, especially for, you know, coming from his over 20 years experience in the financial sector. And I was like, wow, you know, this is a great marriage because we literally need each other here. And we started, you know, working together and traveling around the world together and started planning exactly how we can help Africa. And he came up with the brand Wallex, the Wallex brand that really offers a whole host of services out there. And I started focusing on another brand called Axalio. So the Axalio literally stands for African Exchange and Liberal Investment Opportunity. Now, this is literally me being able to create a marketplace where Africans can meet and find great opportunities to invest and literally start trade, you know, amongst Africans cross-border. But most importantly, it is to bring Africa to the world and the world to Africa. And that's exactly what I started really focusing on and doing research and identifying key players around the world, developers and partners or liquidity partners and investors, potential investors and great guys around this blockchain world. That's exactly what I did.
And I think it's fascinating, John, because what I'm hearing from you is, you know, many entrepreneurs, visionaries, or those that get really passionate about certain topics, especially within the crypto ecosystem, is that they say the word, we want to change the world. And my process and thought is, first start with your backyard. Start with your home. Start with your community. You cannot change the world, but you will be able to make an impact where you live. And that is what I'm hearing, is that for you, you say, Dustin, I'm staying in my lane. My lane right now is a country that has more people than you could imagine, because most people that hear of Africa and they might only think of South Africa or they think of Kenya, that there are many, many places within Africa, such as Morocco is in Africa, West Africa. But most people around the world wouldn't know that. And so I love that you're doing that. And you talked about something a few minutes ago regarding voting issues, that there are people that believe that the voting problems only happened, or at least in their mind, only happens in the United States, that it became this international phenomenon that one side cheated and the other side thought they cheated, or the one side didn't really cheat. So you're telling me that this confusion, this lack of trust, that this lack of trust happens not just in the United States, it happens all around the world?
It is all over the world, all around the world. In fact, with the U.S., we kind of really saw what really transpired in the voting right. So we, for a very long time, Africa has been seen as this place where people, you know, whenever there is voting, we already know it's fraudulent vote, right? So we already know who is going to win. But look at what happened in the U.S. You know, with President Trump, we've seen exactly all the misshapes, okay, happening in a political era.
Yeah, each side develops their own narrative. Each side believes it. Like, and that's part of this. So talk about how blockchain solves that, because I'm under the impression, because while the mindset is changing, there are certain people around the world that still associate this word Bitcoin with all bad things. And now you live in a nation or come from a country that is the cradle of humanity, the cradle of civilization, hasn't cash, hasn't rocks, minerals, gold, silver, jewelry, having all those things, including bank accounts, mind you, that there are many of these global banks that get fined every year because of what they allowed. Tell me how the blockchain really provides the solution, because many times I'm hearing they only look at the problems. I go, well, but the other side has problems too. So talk about the solution that blockchain brings.
I'm going to give you a real example of something I'm really working on now, still with Axalio and Wallex, and applying that to I'm going to say this, the richest country in the world, but yet the poorest country in the world. And that is the DRC, the Democratic Republic of Congo. And by the way, I am originally, there you go. I'm originally from the Congo, right? So here's the thing. The DRC has over $24 trillion worth of unexploited mineral resources, right? But yet it is the poorest country. Look at Tesla. For Tesla to work, it has to extract the minerals from the DRC. The lithium has to come from the DRC for all these batteries to work, to power up not only the trucks and the cars and all that kind of stuff, right? So that's exactly what happens. But here's the thing, here's the deal. How can the DRC people really benefit from all of those extractions, right, happening in their soil? Now, I'm putting together mechanism right now, leveraging the power of blockchain technology, the beauty of cryptocurrencies, to being able to create a token economy. And by the way, I'm gonna tell you one thing. I did speak before on a conference where my title was Blockchain, a New Protocol for a New Economy, right? But in my conference, there is a key word that I had to debunk, and that was the key word called trust. Now, if we look into trust, the best way for me to define trust in the world of blockchain technology is that I had to define every single letter of the word trust, and I'm gonna do it right now as well for you to understand how am I applying this in the DRC for us to be able to create a better economy there. So I'm going to start with the first letter T. When we look into the first letter T, I look into T as transparency. And by the way, the blockchain technology technology was really pretty much created to allow us to have transparent transactions, be it voting or sending transactions to two parties. That we know it is self-explanatory. Transparency is a key word for the blockchain technology to really be valid for a lot of people out there. So the second key word is reputation in the word trust. Now, if we look into Uber today, Uber was able to create the first shared economy. And we know that today reputation is almost like your currency, your digital currency, for a particular driver to be selected pretty much quicker, right? So assume, for example, I order an Uber and I see that this guy has got a 1-star rating. Chances are I will reject this guy and I would not be wanting to ride with him because, hey, who knows? Maybe he's picking up people and dropping them into some of the wrong places or kidnapping them or whatever. So I will be very, very skeptical about engaging somebody who's got a really negative rating or a lower than usual rating. So the U in the word trust is for unalterable, right? So we all know the immutability aspect of each transaction being done on the blockchain. So that's the key element, right? So when you do voting or when you do exchanges or when you do remittances and payments and all that kind of stuff, the immutability aspect of each transaction on the blockchain is exactly really key for this ecosystem to work. But there's a one sexy one that I like. It's the next one, which is the S for smart contract. So we know we saw this with Ethereum, right? So Ethereum was able to create the first smart contract on the blockchain. And we see a lot of other people out there trying to emulate that as well. But Ethereum is there to implement smart contracts. So for the first time, we are then able to see self-governance happening in code based on the agreement that happened between two parties. But lastly, it is the T for the token economy. And this is where the caveat is, because with the token economy, we are now able to create a whole new world, a whole new digital economy in Africa. And instead of people in Africa who are looking to get access to financial instruments, to financial, the whole aspect of financial inclusion, I do believe that through the token economy, we will be able to lower barriers of entries, facilitate or incentivize people for being part of that particular ecosystem, allowing them, for example, in a mining project of gold or coltan or cobalt, for them to be able to profit, to benefit from all of these extractions, because I can give them an opportunity to invest early. And guess what I'm going to do? So that investment is going to help us fuel local projects, right? Create jobs, extract these minerals, and give them to Tesla, if it is the lithium, or extra gold to Dubai or London or Switzerland. And those returns, those high returns, will then be able to pay these investors early. And we will be able to create an ecosystem that will just keep on running and running and running and running. And that is the one thing that we are working to achieve with Walex as well as Axalio. So Axalio becomes the first incubated B2B solution of Walex that has a more global aspect of things around the world. And that's pretty much exactly what we are working, and we are very much excited about that for us to implement as we go on. So that's really high-level. Without being too technical, that's exactly what I'm doing in the blockchain space.
Thank you again for sharing your story on the Bitcoin.com podcast.
Dustin, thank you very much indeed.
We know you enjoyed the show, but please don't forget, this show is only provided for informational purposes only. It is not offered or intended to be used as legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. You've listened to another episode of the Bitcoin.com podcast. Subscribe at news.bitcoin.com, where your journey begins.